right, welcome to Breitbart News Daily. Thanks for being here. We talked to Senator Mike Lee today. He was wonderful. Surely Breitbart.com is going to make its own article about that, so we will leave that to the website, Breitbart.com, of course. We kicked off the show talking about Tupac. Wasn't super newsworthy, but we tied it into Palestine and Hamas and all that stuff. But we'll give you here our opening segment of the second hour of the show, where we talk about Hillary. Hillary's saying that Trump loves dictators because secretly he wants to imprison his political opponents. It's like, are you kidding me, Hillary? So I went off here for a long time, and hopefully there's some good stuff and you can enjoy. Don't. It was bad enough when we talked to the state senator from Nebraska. And the state senator from Nebraska is like, yeah, we just couldn't pass it. It's like, what are you talking about? You have a veto-proof majority of Republicans in your state Senate, and you couldn't pass it? Remember the guy's like, oh, well, you know, five of them are from Omaha. I'm like, yeah, so? Well, you know Omaha. No, I don't. What do you mean Omaha? But Oklahoma is the one state where every county, I think it's the only state where every single county votes red, even Tulsa, even Oklahoma City. So Oklahoma, if you can't get something done, then we're out. If you can't do a conservative thing, there's what state will? So we'll talk about that at 8 o'clock. And then Senator Mike Lee from Utah is going to be here. We'll talk about the Uniparty and Mike Johnson and all that good stuff. All right, I want to play this interview here of Hillary Clinton. Let me play this. This first part's not the important part, but I just want to play it because I've heard her do this a few times. This is what they came up with. This is what they focus grouped to try to talk about Joe Biden being old and try to spin that around as not a big deal. Before I play it, our problem with Joe, one of the problems with Joe, it's not that he's old. That's not it, because Trump is old. It's that he's senile. You with me on the difference, right? Old doesn't matter. Old's not the problem. If he was old and shuffled a lot, shuffled his feet, if his gait was were the only problem, then that'd be fine. It's the senile part. You could be young and senile, I suppose, right? That's a problem too, right? But it's the senility. Is that a word? Often comes with age, but it's not just old. Anyway, here's Hillary's attempt to judo chop that away.
Say, oh, you know, Joe Biden's old. I always say, look, you're right. Joe Biden is old. He's also effective. He's compassionate. He cares about people. He wants to maintain our democracy. He will abide by the results of a fair and free election. And Donald Trump is old, and he has 91 felony criminal indictments against him.
Okay. So they admit he's old. They can obviously cannot pretend he's not old. They can't ignore it. So they have to be like, okay, yes, he's old, but he's also compassionate. And Trump's old, and 91 felony counts against him. So that's their spin. Is that effective? Is that going to work? All right. So anyway, here's the crazy part.
And finally, I think we haven't talked much about the international arena, but you know, his bromance with Putin, and it was actually called that, I think, by the former prime minister of Australia, who said he saw Trump with Putin, and Trump was like, you know, just gaga over Putin, because Putin does what he would like to do: kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive, you know, journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance. That's what Trump really wants. And so we have to be very conscious of how he sees the world, because in that world, he only sees strongmen leaders. He sees Putin, he sees Xi, he sees Kim Jong-un in North Korea. Those are the people he is modeling himself after. And we've been down this road in our you know, world history, we sure don't want to go down that again. And especially when my view, having negotiated with Putin and knowing that one of the reasons he went after me is because he knew I would, you know, deal with him in an appropriate way, and Trump would basically do whatever he wanted. It's really important to think about what could happen to our world with Trump back in the White House, withdrawing us from NATO, not caring about what happens in Europe, our biggest trading partner, the place where we share values with, the idea that he wants Ukraine to fail, the idea that he doesn't want us to be able to surveil our enemies. I mean, this is a very
scary prospect. Sorry, that was a lot of Hillary. I apologize. I was halfway through that, and I was like, there's a lot of things here we have to talk about, but that's a lot. I should have just read what she said instead of playing that much. Apologies. It's all so wrong. I guess we're backwards. Trump wants to withdraw us from NATO. Like, what are you talking about? Trump wants a stronger NATO. He wants everyone to pay so that it is stronger. He said, you know, he doesn't care what happens in Europe. I mean, we care, we care appropriately, in an appropriate amount, what happens in Europe, but we're America first. So it's what's America's best interest here and what is our best interest in how we get involved over there. We don't want Ukraine to fail. We just know they will. What was the other one? She said, like MAGA. Here it is. Right there.
Our biggest trading partner, the place where we share values with, the idea that he wants Ukraine to fail, the idea that he doesn't want us to be able to surveil our enemies.
Doesn't want to be able to surveil our enemies? What are you talking about? I think she's talking about the FISA court. What conservatives want there is for the intel agencies to get a warrant before they surveil American citizens. That's the conservative argument. You need a warrant before you surveil American citizens. No one's saying, oh, you shouldn't be able to surveil our enemies. Like, that, all of that is just such unbelievable lies. All right, this is the part that got news. All right, let me play this. This is only 10 seconds here.
With Putin, and Trump was like, you know, just gaga over Putin, because Putin does what he would like to do: kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive, you know, journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance.
So the headline is obvious there, right? Like, Hillary says Trump wants to kill his opposition. The same Trump, by the way, who, when he won in 2016, was asked if he's actually going to lock her up. And he said, I don't know. She's been through enough. It doesn't matter. Let's just move on. So that won't be good for our country, to drag a political opponent through a trial. And the precedent wouldn't be good or healthy. So let's just move on. Are you with me? Donald, one of the chants during the whole campaign is lock her up. He wins. A reporter says, are you going to lock her up? He's like, nah, we're not going to. That person who could be locked up by that very person, that person now is saying he wants to jail his political opponents. Could have done it, Hill. He could have done it. Meanwhile, you're actually doing it. It's amazing. How about drive journalists? Sorry, I don't want to skip past the imprison political opponents. We did a little bit of Trump trial update an hour ago. Maybe we can talk more about it later if we have some time, but maybe we'll ask Senator Lee about it. But here, this is Hillary complaining that Donald Trump is a dictator who wants to imprison his political opponents. Are you kidding me with that? We're in day 7 of the fifth Trump trial. And Hillary says Trump wants to imprison his political opponents. That's great. Drive journalists into exile. We did the other day say we need to bring exile back. What are we talking about? Why do we say we need to bring exiling back? I think we were talking about pedophiles. But then we were talking about pedophiles. We should exile them. But then we very quickly settled on execution instead of exile. But the Dems... the Dems don't have to like, they don't have to daydream over bringing exile back, right? If because they have their lapdog media. Any conservative who dares speak out is in danger of a form of exile, a 2024 version of exile, a technological exile, as you get silenced in the technological world. All right, so here's my favorite part. That's the part that got the headlines. This is my favorite part. This is the last Hillary clip right here. This is worthy of a good laugh.
Especially when my view, having negotiated with Putin and knowing that one of the reasons he went after me is because he knew I would, you know, deal with him in an appropriate way, oh, and Trump would basically do whatever he wanted.
Oh yeah, real tough gal. Tough gal Hillary. You know Hillary, tough, strong woman negotiating with Putin. It was Secretary of State Hillary Clinton back in 2009. By the way, let's just reflect on that for a moment. What was Hillary Clinton's foreign policy experience back in 2009? She was first lady for 8 years, then senator for 8 years. That's it. Now she's Secretary of State. Okay. I'd like to go on the record now and say that Melania, I do not think, is qualified to be the Secretary of State. Even if she were senator for 8 years, although she does speak like six languages, so maybe she is more qualified than Hillary. But anyway, in 2009, Hillary met with the Russian foreign minister and had this like so cringe, super awkward moment where she presented, like, it's the idea that people thought this was a good idea. It's unbelievable. They presented the Russian foreign minister, like this, you know, like 6'4", like looks like head of KGB Russian foreign minister guy. And they present him with this little cute box with a ribbon on it. And he opens up the box and there's press around like this thing. Like they set this all up as to be like a fun thing. And it had a word. So it's a box and they took out and it was a red button. You're like, don't touch the red button, like that, like a button, like a cartoon button. And it had a word on it. And the word that they wanted to write was reset. They wanted to put it in Russian, but they wanted to put reset. We're going to reset our relationship. And Clinton, in front of the, she handed this box with the, and she took it out. And he's like, what the heck is this piece of junk? And Hillary says, we worked hard to get the Russian word, to get the right Russian word. Do you think we got it? That's an actual quote. We worked hard to get the right Russian word. Do you think we got it? I don't know how hard that could be. Surely there had to be someone who spoke Russian in the State Department who could figure that one out pretty quick. And Lavrov, he said, you got it wrong. Instead of the word reset, they put the word overcharge. It's the opposite of what they want. So she wrote, she said, we won't let you do that to us. And then later in the day, because that was like super, like went horribly, she tried to spin it in a way. The word that was on the button turns out also to be true. We are resetting. That's what the word they wanted, reset. We are resetting, so the minister and I have an overload of work to do. Oh. Oh. And the end of this political article says, he told Clinton he would put the button on his desk in Moscow. Yes, I bet he did, to be reminded of how stupid we are. Absolutely, how stupid and pathetic and weak. And this is America. That's our Secretary of State. This is what we're dealing with now. Can you believe it? Can you believe the downfall of that nation? I will put a nice reminder of that right here on my desk, and I will look at it every day as we have our way. So I think of that when Hillary says, "Oh, of course Putin went after me because he knew that I would deal with him in an appropriate way." People are delusional. Real quick, back to the killing political opponents. Benny Thompson, one of the congressmen, I think from Mississippi, he introduced an act. Ready for this title? It's called the Denying Infinite Security and Government Resources Allocated Towards Convicted and Extremely Dishonorable Former Protectees Act. Okay, oh, well, that's a mouthful. What were they trying? What word were they trying to make here as an acronym? All right, you ready? Let's see if we can follow along. Denying infinite security and government resources allocated towards convicted and extremely dishonorable former Protectees Act. Were you able to? It's the Disgraced Act. The Disgraced. It's just so great. I'd love to hear these people workshop that together. All right, guys, let's think about what word do we want here. Felon, no. What? Disgraced. Good. Disgrace. All right, let's go with disgrace. That's a good one. All right, D. Give me a D. How long do you think it took him to put that one together? The Disgraced Act. And it would, if Trump gets convicted, it would remove his Secret Service protection. How about that? So he loses his Secret Service protection. So just go ahead and try to kill him, everyone. Says the people who are appalled that Trump wants to be like a dictator and kill his political opponents and imprison. He wants to imprison them. I love it. Here's the Atlantic. This is their thing. This is not just Hillary. This is like the thing. This is the Democratic Party line right now. This is the Atlantic. The real reason Trump loves Putin. I don't think Trump loves. I don't know. What is this Trump loves Putin thing? We're just blowing past that like initial assumption. Why do Donald Trump and his acolytes heap such reverent praise on Vladimir Putin? I've never heard anyone heap reverent praise on Vladimir Putin. A new book explores the American right's tendency to admire and want to emulate foreign dictators. Okay, you're the American right. Again, we're going to, in like an hour, we're going to talk with Senator Mike Lee about how right and left don't really work anymore. But for the sake of this conversation, you're the American right. Okay, do you want to emulate foreign dictators? I can think of no way that I or the right wants to emulate foreign dictators. These people are living on a different planet. Tucker Carlson did say that the Russian subways are clean, but that is in comparison to ours, which are filthy and dangerous and have the National Guard in them. And you're not even allowed to protect yourself or others in them, or else you'd go to jail like Daniel Penny. So like that, I suppose, but I don't know if that's heaping praise or wanting to emulate foreign dictators. So here it is. Here's the book they're talking about. Conservatives have searched for a paradise abroad that can serve as a model at home. Oh, Jacob Heilbrun. I don't know this guy. These people are so off. The conservatives have searched for a paradise abroad that can serve as a model at home. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? It is the left that believes in utopia. It's the left that's searching for that utopia abroad that they can bring home or maybe even move to. The entire leftist paradigm is set on progress. Progress, progress, progress. Progress to what? Utopia. The left doesn't believe in human nature. They believe that human nature can be changed and perfected. They believe humans can be directed in a way that leads to moral perfection, and the directing is done by the elites, the college graduates. The progressives believe that there's an ideal solution to every problem, that every problem can be solved if we just pass the right bill or we put the right people in charge. Then we can reach that utopia here at home. The leftists believe that they, the elite, the morally superior, they can create a world that is perfect, a world that is literally the precise temperature, the right temperature. If we can get rid of enough cows and have only a certain amount of cars and limit the number of people to just the right number of people, then we can fine tune the earth to the 10th of a degree. Okay, you want to talk about people who love utopia? That would be the progressives who love utopia. They think they know the exact right temperature of the planet, and which is an absurd idea. Like, what is the right temperature of the planet? That's ridiculous. So they think they know the right temperature of the planet, and they, even worse, believe that they can set it to that temperature if we just do the right things, okay? These people believe in utopia. By the way, the Greek word utopia means no place. That's what it literally means. It means no place. It's impossible. Eden was in, but the left doesn't believe in that either, so they think they can make it all over again. So I love that. Oh, it's conservatives want this paradise. They're looking for a paradise. Now, you guys are looking for a paradise. We are the ones who understand the limits of human nature. You're the ones who think you can rewrite human nature. But let's focus on the abroad now. Conservatives have searched for a paradise abroad that can serve as a model at home. This is very interesting. The left, conservatives don't look abroad. The left accuses, well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that sentence. Let me take that sentence back and I'll swing back around to it. The left accuses conservatives of being xenophobes who are so patriotic in a bad way that they think America's number one and every other country stinks. Okay, so the left accuses you of hating every other country and being America first and hating every other place in the world, right? And at the same time, they're saying that you're looking for other countries abroad that we can be more like. Which is it? Can't be both, right? And the only countries they can list are China. They're saying conservatives want to be more like China. We admire President Xi. They're our biggest enemy, Hill. What was the other one? Russia, Putin. I've never heard any praise of Putin. And then North Korea. Those are the three that they can list that we want to be like. You kidding me? Conservatives are not in search abroad of any utopia. It's the left that loves Denmark. All we have here about is Denmark. We're not looking abroad to make things better. We're looking in the past. Here in America. We're looking for things in America that we should go back to. Hence, make America great again. And not don't be a child, progressives. Not all things. Oh, you want to go back to the 50s when there was black people couldn't vote? You want to go back to when there's slavery? It's quiet. We want to look back on the things that worked. We want to look back on the ways of life in America that were good. My favorite attack on the left is conservatives want to take us back to the 50s. And it's like, yeah, I do. The 50s seemed actually pretty great. Things were made in America. Things lasted. Families were intact. Plenty of economic growth. Solid schools. There were real towns. Real towns that you were connected to in real ways. Emma Jo the other day said that back then we were viewed as more than just an economy. So yeah, the 50s, there were a lot of, no era was perfect. There is no utopia, but there was a lot of the 50s that were good that if we brought back, I think we'd be better. And if you want to, we're looking abroad for a utopia? No. We're looking back in our own country. Different aspects of our existence that were good. And if anything, we're going back to 1776. Here, this country. We want to go back to the founding principles of our country. So this article, it's not just Hillary. I think what they're painting is so, so far off. And I wonder if they know it. I wonder if they know it and they're lying, or they're really so far off. They think this is accurate and it's just not even close. I'll leave you one more thing with this article and then we take your phone call. So there's one article in the Atlantic. The real reason Trump loves Putin. Okay. So it quotes H.L. Mencken. H.L. Mencken has been quoted many times here on this show because he's a very quotable guy. And this article says that H.L. Mencken was a conservative curmudgeon after World War I. All right, that's the era we're talking about, right after World War I. So they build up H.L. Mencken as this conservative hero. All right, and then they attack him. Mencken. Oh, you conservatives, you love H.L. Mencken so much. Because there's a couple quotes that you share of his. You love him so much. Well, Mencken believed fervently in the superiority of German civilization and in the leadership of its racist, warmongering monarch, Kaiser Wilhelm. His affection for Germany also grew from his disdain of American democracy, which he believed ceded control of society to mediocre politicians. By contrast, he liked that Germany was governed by an oligarchy of its best men. Just before America officially entered World War I, he submitted an article to the Atlantic in which he imagined that Germany might one day conquer the United States and create a new utopia on its shores. Okay, so they're lifting up H.L. Mencken as this poster boy for German pride and proving that conservatives quote H.L. Mencken from time to time. So therefore, conservatives don't believe in democracy. They believe in oligarchy, an oligarchy of its best men. Okay, here's the thing with H.L. Mencken, and I don't need to go into H.L. Mencken's politics, like whatever. Here's what you need to know about H.L. Mencken. H.L. Mencken, quotable guy from time to time, was an atheist, a rabid atheist, like activist atheist. Like crazy, crazy atheist. Now, I don't know, maybe he's conservative in some ways. But if you're an atheist, you're much more inclined to believe that humans are born good and that there is even such thing as our best men who should be in charge of the masses. That's not what our founding fathers ever believed. Christians, and MSNBC, if you're listening, I'm giving a defense here of Christian nationalism. Christians believe that all men are sinners. It's called total depravity of man. Christians believe that man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and people are dead to their transgressions, held captive by sin. Therefore, no one should have power over anyone else. That's one of the key principles of our founding fathers and our founding nation. So I'm not looking abroad to Germany to figure out who and how we should rule. That's the whole point of this article, is that we look abroad to try to figure out who should rule other people. Should we do it the H.L. Mencken method, with an oligarchy of its best men? Conservatives are out there. Should we do it the Putin way, where he can just jail his? Should we do it the Xi way? No way. We don't want anyone having any control over anyone. We don't want none of that. That is what led our founding. I'm not looking abroad. We're looking back. We're looking back to our founding principles. It is this worldview that our founders had, this Christian worldview, that led to separations of powers, that led to federalism, that led to being decentralized in as many ways as possible, to keep as much power in the hands of the individual and then in the town before it ever gets to the state and the feds. It was a deep distrust of human nature and humans with power that led our founding fathers to create the system we have today. Where did that distrust come from? It came from the Bible, came from a biblical worldview that said all men are sinful in a post-fall world. So don't go lecturing conservatives about how much conservatives want a dictator. That is completely contrary to every bone in our body. Conservatives, we want someone to go to D.C. and make it irrelevant. Like, so far from being a dictator, we want D.C. to be irrelevant. We want the most important governing force in our nation to be the home again. But it's the breakdown of the home which has led to us outsourcing our responsibilities, more and more of them, to different levels of government, which then kick it down the road, or I should say kick it higher up to the feds. And now we have the feds in charge of as much as imaginable. But it should be the home. It should be the home. I'll end on this. I've been going off a long time here. I didn't realize what time it was. The last point here, the left is often aghast that the so-called values voters on the right would support such an adulterous man to be president. And again, I think this critique of theirs gives good insight into who they are. They think they got you on that, but I think it actually says a lot about them, because the left looks for that paragon of perfection. They thought they found it in Barack Obama, you know, right? Because his pants were creased so perfectly, as David Brooks said. Oh, I saw the crease in his pants. It was such a perfect crease. That's what he said. It was such a perfect crease. I knew he would be president, and I knew he would be a great president. It's a real quote from David Brooks. So they're looking for the paragons of perfection to be their leader, because they are the ones who want the dictator. They want the king. They want to jail their political opponents. Conservatives don't care about Trump's sins, because everyone sins. And we just want him to build the wall. We just want him to do one job well. That's it. Here's the job. There's your job. There's a lot to it, granted, but we want you to do that one job well, and that's it. The fact that conservatives can look past Trump's infidelities is proof that we're not looking for a moral leader or for a perfect dictator. It's proof that we don't want that, like they say we do, but that they actually do. They call us, they'll say that conservatives have an authoritarian instinct. Such a great line. They say that. Kidding me? Authoritarian instinct. Exact opposite. Exact opposite. Trump wants to jail his political opponents. Welcome back to Breitbart News Daily. Oklahoma just passed a bill, and it's working its way through the Senate and then the governor. It's the most extreme anti-illegal immigrant bill in the country, and I'm here for it. Here's what it is. I want to go right to Charles McCall, who is the Speaker of the Oklahoma House of Representatives. Charles, how are you doing, sir?
I'm great, Mr. Slater. Good morning to you.
Really, really good to talk to you. So we got a lot to talk about with Oklahoma, but let's start specifically here on this bill that you guys passed. That it says here, this headline, that the governor doesn't know if he's going to sign or not. So let's, what is this bill y'all passed?
Well, it's an illegal immigration bill. I mean, with the inaction of the Biden administration, every state in the country is a border state these days. And Oklahoma and its leadership has decided we need to take action and pass the strongest illegal immigration bill that we can, that will meet the federal court's muster. And so that's what we've done this week. It overwhelmingly passed out of the House of Representatives along party lines. But we have an 81% supermajority, a Republican supermajority in the state of Oklahoma, and a conservative supermajority in the state of Oklahoma. So legislation, Ms. Slater, just basically we have created a new definition called impermissible occupation in the state of Oklahoma. And if you're not legal to be have permission to be in the state of Oklahoma, you'll be charged with a misdemeanor and a fine and given 72 hours to leave the state of Oklahoma. If you refuse to do so, the second offense is a felony and punishable by imprisonment. And that the bill also preempts any city in the state, in our state, from becoming a sanctuary city. We think this is going to be a piece of legislation that will deter illegal immigration in the state of Oklahoma, and we believe it has the chance to be model legislation throughout the southern region and the United States regarding illegal immigration, and hopefully we'll press the U.S. Congress to take action and secure our borders and enforce our immigration laws.
Impermissible occupation. Who is deemed impermissible, and by whom are they deemed impermissible?
Well, that is a definition that will be enforced only by the state of Oklahoma. We will exercise our 10th Amendment rights under the United States Constitution. And if you do not have permission to be here, if you're not a U.S. citizen or somebody who is here documented with a passport or a work visa, you do not have permission to be in the state of Oklahoma.
I remember making this argument a long, long time ago, and I don't know where it stands now in the courts, et cetera. But you mentioned the 10th Amendment. The Constitution says that the federal government, so the states created the federal government. So the states said, hey, feds, you're in charge of naturalization. So you're in charge of who becomes an American citizen and how one becomes an American citizen. But the Constitution doesn't say anything about we're giving to you, feds, who is allowed to be in our state or not allowed in our state, immigration authority. Is that how you guys see it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if the federal government's inaction does not preclude our individual state from taking its own action to protect its own citizens and to ensure that our state's borders are secure. And Ms. Slater, we have a lot of things. We have a lot of issues within illegal immigration in the state of Oklahoma. We have cartel activity. We have fentanyl trafficking. We have illegal marijuana grows in this state. Now, we have our people did vote in a medical marijuana program a few years back, but that has brought in the worst elements across the world into our state to try to exploit our natural resources and our people. This is an effort to protect Oklahomans and keep peace and prosperity in our state.
So to be clear, Oklahoma, you are not defining what is a citizen. You're just declaring that if you are not one, then you're not allowed to be in this state. Who turns someone in? Is it, because remember a couple of years ago, there was the Arizona law that there was a ton of freak out about and was shot down, and that they called it the Show Me Your Papers Act. Are you guys going to be police going to be stopping brown people and asking for their papers?
No, racial profiling is illegal and prohibited in the state of Oklahoma. And, you know, anyone currently can make a referral to the police that they think something is not right. But law enforcement will not, you know, will only be conducting, you know, if you're speeding, if you're breaking the law in some way, only with law enforcement intervene. But we will over time, over the course of keeping the public safe and law enforcement doing their jobs, they will come in contact with certain people that are here without permission, and they will be required to leave. They will be documented in our law enforcement database. And if they return, it will be a felony on the second offense.
Yeah, so you're not deporting anyone either. You're just saying you have to go.
That's correct. We looked very closely at Texas's Senate Bill 4 that the Fifth Circuit overturned, and what sections of that bill they overturned. One of those is the state's ability to deport someone. And so that is not in this bill, but we'll discourage them from staying here in the state of Oklahoma illegally. And if they don't comply with that, we will take action to elevate that to a felony, and which could be punishable by imprisonment.
Why is your governor reluctant, or at least made it seem reluctant, to sign this bill?
I think the governor will sign the bill. I think he's, I'm not sure what reporting outlet has suggested otherwise, but by all indications, with my conversations with Governor Kevin Stitt, he will sign the legislation. Okay. The bill sits in the Senate, and the Oklahoma Senate, and I believe they will have their debate and vote today, and then it will be on to the governor, and I believe the governor will sign the bill.
This is a big deal. How is this different than an E? Well, it is different, but in effect, why not do something like what Florida did, which was an E-verified law? Why do this seems a step further?
Yeah, and one of the other things that one of the other avenues that we wanted to explore with this legislation as an outcome with the failure of Senate Bill 4 from Texas is Senate Bill 4 spent a lot of time authorizing and giving immunity to law enforcement who wanted to basically step in the shoes of the federal government to keep them safe and without any retaliation or retribution from the federal government or anybody. Our approach with this bill basically just enhances what we already have the right to do, which is enforcing civil and criminal trespass. Mm. And so our approach is giving, you know, our law enforcement is already trained, already immune, and is authorized to enforce civil trespass. And impermissible occupation is just a step further of that, and defines who does not have permission to be in the state. So we think it's very simple. We think it's well defined, and we know there will be a court challenge. But we have spent a lot of time with some other conservative groups crafting this piece of legislation, and we believe if the other states around Oklahoma, in this region and throughout the country, adopt this language, it's going to deter this type of activity throughout the United States, and or force Washington to take some action.
Yeah, I'm talking to Charles McCall. He's the Speaker of the Oklahoma House of Representatives. Surely there's people against this. Business interests I'll focus on first. What about the farmers? What about chicken factories? What about construction crews who rely on these illegal aliens for their businesses? What do you say to them?
I say we have immigration laws in this country, and everyone should follow them. And there are plenty of ways for migrant workers to be in this country legally. We just need to follow the law and make sure those people are those workers are documented. I understand we've got the best economy in the world. Everyone wants to come here. I think our country has always been welcoming throughout its existence, but we have a set of laws and a path to be here to work, and we also have a defined path for citizenship if you want to seek that. But cutting corners and being here illegally and not doing it the right way, it cheapens the whole system. And those who have come to this country legally and obtained their citizenship, this illegal immigration, it just cheapens that process. And quite honestly, there's plenty of people that live here in the state of Oklahoma who have naturalized that don't like illegal immigration themselves because they did it the right way, and they think everybody else should do it like they did.
Who's going to pick the cotton in Oklahoma, sir?
Well, we have those farmers and ranchers have combines and other pieces of equipment to help them. And they also should all be knowledgeable on what the processes are for somebody to be here with a work visa.
I look forward to this being a model across the country. I got a few more questions, so let's broaden it out a bit. I've always pointed to Oklahoma as a pretty remarkable state, where I believe you're the only state where every single county voted red in the presidential election in 2020, even Oklahoma City, although it was close, it's like 1%, but it still counts. And Tulsa like wasn't even close. What's up with that? We talk about the city country divide in this country, but Oklahoma doesn't have that. So what's going on with Oklahoma?
You know, people here are conservative. I mean, they're pro business, they're pro family, and you know, right is right and wrong is wrong. You know, and we want our children to be brought up without indoctrination. We want people to be successful here. And that's just what's great about Oklahoma. We have a very congruent people here. The two metropolitan areas that we have here in Oklahoma are a bit purple. As you mentioned, Trump may not have carried downtown Oklahoma City, but he carried Oklahoma County and all 77 counties here in our state. It's going to happen again this year. And that's just the, you know, the moral fabric. Just 12 years ago, when I ran for the state House of Representatives from a rural sector in the state of Oklahoma, I was the first Republican ever elected to the seat in our state's history.
Wait, what? Because what, yeah. Blue Dog Democrats had it before?
Yes. For 100 years. Wow. And just in the last 12 years, things have changed in Oklahoma that you can't get elected unless you're a Republican. And Oklahoma has always been a people of conservative values, but the party ideology has changed over the years, but people are still conservative, and they're voting Republican every election because it's the party that. It is the only party that stands for conservative values.
So this is interesting. So many Blue Dog Democrats across the country need to realize what the Blue Dog Democrats of Oklahoma realized about a decade or so ago. That's what you're saying. What was it? Because we've talked about this a lot. Like, there's a lot of Democrats who don't believe in drag queen story hour, for example. How were the Republicans in Oklahoma able to convince those old school Democrats? No, guys, we are the party of the things that you actually have believed in.
Absolutely. And they are changing their registrations because they can't be with the Democratic Party anymore and what they've become. And they are migrating to the Republican Party because we're standing for freedom and liberty. We're standing for family values. We're standing for the government staying out of people's business to the greatest extent possible, and that's what resonates with the people of the state of Oklahoma. Our House of Representatives is an 81% supermajority Republican. We hold every rural seat in the state of Oklahoma. And in the metros, it's divided. But there are only 20 Democratic members of the Oklahoma House of Representatives, and they all reside within the inner city areas of Oklahoma City and Tulsa. Everything else in our state is staunch Republican.
Bizarro world of California. Last question. Sorry, I know you got to run. What do you think of the tallest building in America being built in Oklahoma City?
I get that question a lot. I'm ready to see it happen. I'll believe it when I see the construction start.
Are you for it if they did do it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the renderings of it are absolutely beautiful. There's a big buzz about it here and throughout the state of Oklahoma. But once again, the architects and the builders have doubled down in the local media that it's going to happen. So we will wait and see. Devon Energy built a 50-story building here just a few years ago. It has about 3 million square feet of space within it for offices. And I don't think it's fully occupied, but nevertheless, we welcome investment in this state. So looking forward to it.
50 stories will be dwarfed by the 120-story building that you guys are going to build right next to it. It's unbelievable. Charles McCauley is the Speaker of the Oklahoma House of Representatives. Charles, well done. Thank you for this bill, and I look forward to it being the model for the country, at least part of the country.
Thank you, Mr. Slater. Great to be with you today.
Thank you, brother. For the record, I'm against the bill. I think I'm against – I don't know. The building. I think I'm against it. Have you seen the renderings? You know what I'm talking about? We haven't really done a segment on it. In this,
how could you be against it if you want us to build great things again? That's one of your biggest themes.
I know. I've done many segments where I lament the fact that we don't build cool things anymore. But
and they're building a cool thing.
I know. I appreciate it. But it's in the middle of Oklahoma City. It's like it's ridiculous looking. It doesn't fit at all.
The arch that you love is ridiculous looking.
Nah, the arch is ridiculous, but the arch is awesome. You could go in it. It's crazy. Yeah, no, I got to be against it. I'm against it. I understand everything you're saying, Zach. I think I'm against it primarily because I'm against steel and glass buildings. So I moved to Nashville, obviously. I shouldn't say obviously. I don't know how long you've been listening to this show, but I moved to Nashville. And Nashville, and I hate to say it because I love it here, it is ugly. The buildings, they are popping up buildings left and right, and they all look the same, and they're horrible. It's bleak. From an architecture standpoint, Nashville's amazing. From an architecture standpoint, Nashville is bleak. We go into the city once a week, and at least when you're coming up, whatever that highway is, from the south, he's like, oh, what are they doing here? And really everywhere you go, just horrible. So I don't like the idea of a giant steel and glass building popping up out of Oklahoma. That's my problem. So maybe it's less the absurdity of the height of it and more it's just, why do we do that? Why do we do more steel and glass buildings? Come on, people. You know, in St. Louis, the most beautiful building there, well, first of all, it's the old courthouse, of course. And then there's the old church right next to the arch. Right? That's what's in all the pictures. And then Breitbart had an article about how St. Louis is doing well, the downtown. And they highlighted the Railroad Exchange building or something. And it's not a super tall building, but it's stunning. It's a stunning, beautiful building. And with detailed stonework and all this stuff. And now we're just building steel and glass buildings that could be built in Taipei or Shanghai or anywhere around the world. Like, not here. There's my concluding thought. Nothing about this building. Here it is. I got it. Okay. See if I blabber on enough, I'll get to a point. I'll come to a thought. Nothing about this building says Oklahoma. That's my problem with it. Nothing about it says Oklahoma. You could plop it anywhere. And that I don't like that. If you're going to do this, if you're going to spend so much money on building the biggest building in America, it should spend some time on the architecture of it, and don't just make it this phallic looking spire for in the middle of nowhere. Anywho, that's enough of that. Back to the main point. That's all good stuff, right? How about that? Oklahoma, it's got to start somewhere. Of course, it would start in Oklahoma. Oklahoma says you are not allowed to be here illegally. And if you do, then if you are, it's a misdemeanor. If you're back, it's a felony. And then you're going to jail. Let's go to Susan, who is in Oklahoma. Hey, Susan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. I don't know if you want to talk about the skyscraper or if you want to talk about the illegals.
All of it. I need to rebut Mr. McCall. I'm sorry. He painted too rosy of a picture of what's going on here. Number one, we don't need that monstrosity building. That's just a liberal magnet. Come on. We don't need it.
A liberal magnet. Hold on. That's a good line. That's why I'm against it too. It's a liberal magnet. It would just, where will it get these liberals from in Oklahoma?
Well, they travel here. We're being converged on by
yes.
Californians, and I've only been here 13 years. My grandparents came from Oklahoma, but it's just we're getting, our housing prices are going up because of people moving here, but they're not bringing conservative values.
Yeah, yeah, we don't need to fill that building with liberals. Right.
Tower, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. All right, what about the immigration part? Real quick, let me ask you this, and it's obviously you're against it. You're against the tower. What's the vibe on the streets of Oklahoma about the building?
I don't know. I haven't really heard anybody talking about it. I think that
you're about to build the tallest building in the country.
Yeah, well, it looks like a pipe dream. I don't know.
All right, about the illegals.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of them here. I like to go to the casino for relaxation. And when I go to the casinos, there are a lot of illegals in the casinos using their allotment money that they're getting from our government to gamble with. I earn my money to gamble with and pay for them to gamble, apparently, also. But they're everywhere. They're everywhere. And this bill, I hope it works, because we really do need to clean it up. But there's other things going on. Our school system is terrible, and there's a lot of liberals that have jumped into the school systems, especially in Norman, and they're indoctrinating our kids, we, they, them.
Yep.
And
Susan, I got to run here, Susan. I'm totally with you. I took notes here. I want to come. We got to take a break because Mike Lee is here, Senator Mike Lee. But let me come back to all of that stuff, because we've actually touched on a few of those things recently, but we can drive it home with Oklahoma, because we need you, Oklahoma. You are, we were just talking in the last hour about searching for utopias abroad. Oklahoma, you're the utopia here. You're the all conservative, all Republican everything. So we need you to thrive. We need you to succeed. We're counting on you, Oklahoma. Thanks for listening to Breitbart News Daily. Something that has not gotten enough media attention has been the Biden administration changes to Title IX. We'll get the details on that and how that affects you and your son and your daughter tomorrow. Mike Slater, Breitbart News Daily. Spread the word.